Hey y'all, it's Kobe R. Rice, and I'm back again for another weekly creative update. So, welcome back to the Epic Fantastical Journey of a Black Female Sci-Fi Writer podcast. I am Kobe R. Rice, novelist, screenwriter, director. What else do I do? Game writer, narrative. I don't even know what I'm calling myself now. Narrative artist, narrative writer. And also founder of Rebel Ragdoll, which is a multimedia fempire in progress. I wonder why I forgot my title for gaming. Narrative designer. There we go. I just need to get it all the way together, guys. My confusion actually is not coming from a place of fatigue, although I'm a little sleepy, but in a good way. But it is coming from a place of extreme rest and chillaxness. So yeah, I'm in a much, much better mood and place than I was last week. And actually, if you guys remember, last week I told you guys to, no matter what is happening in your personal lives or artistic lives, to choose happiness. And just so happens that literally the day after I recorded that podcast, I took care of some things, and all the stuff, or most of the things that were happening in my life that were causing me like stress and drama, pretty much resolved themselves. And I was super excited and super happy. So right now I'm feeling super content, glad that I took my own advice, and I'm glad that it worked out. And yeah, so I am back to give you guys a really great update. Prior to that though, happy Memorial Day. For those of you who are in the United States of America, today is the day that we honor those who have passed away and died and sacrificed themselves in service to our country in the armed forces. So if you guys have anybody in your family who made that sacrifice for the United States, to you guys, I say thank you and rest in power. Luckily and thankfully, my parents, even though they're both veterans of the Air Force, they are still alive and well, but yet, you know, also very grateful for the sacrifices made. So yeah, it's interesting being sort of a semi-Air Force brat myself, because I don't necessarily identify very strongly with, you know, the sort of jughead culture that we have, the super jingo patriotic culture. Not that I'm not a patriot per se, but, you know, I identify just more as a civilian than I do with military lifestyle. And strangely enough, or ironically enough, between both of my parents, my mom was the one who was super in love with the military for a variety of reasons. But one of them being that it really provided her an opportunity to make a better life for herself. And she actually really, really enjoyed her time in the military when she was there. And, you know, certain life circumstances happened where she had to leave. But if those things had not occurred, I would probably still be a military brat, or I would have grown up as an Air Force brat living on bases and whatnot. And my mom would probably actually have a super high rank, because she's one of the most intense, disciplined, no bullshit, no nonsense people I've ever met. So, and she will chew your ass up and spit you out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm not like hating on my mom's, but I'm just saying she could definitely have been a general. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so happy Memorial Day to all of you guys. Let's just get right into it. As you can see, this episode itself is entitled Episode number 70, How to Design a Badass TV Series. Now, the reason why I titled it that is because, not because I'm going to give like a whole lesson or tutorial on that right now, but I did want to give you guys an overview of the template and breakdown that I've done after having studied TV writing, series creation, TV series, and pilots for the past month and a half. And this is just a collection and an amalgamation of everything that I've learned. And what I realized is that one of my skills as a creative person who also has analytical abilities is that I can look at something and really take it apart. Like, I can really dig in to the anatomy and basically do like an autopsy of any sort of creative project, whether that be a novel, a series, a pilot, any sort of TV show, a script, and figure out how it works. It's sort of like, I don't know, kind of like being a really weird creative engineer. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. It's just a skill that I recognize that I have, because literally just from this past month and a half of study, I have produced like almost a 20-page document and counting, with, I believe, is it 16 different sections that basically deal with the various components of a badass binge-worthy TV series. And this is not, I'm not going to claim that I came up with all these components originally from all the things that I've been studying. Will Rabkin's writing the pilot and creating the TV series, from those books to the creating binge-worthy TV series course that I'm taking right now, although I haven't really delved into it yet. From reading like all of these books about screenwriting and teleplay writing in the industry, looking at the way that I engage in the creation process, and also just analyzing a bunch of different pilots, both in film format and also script format, I've been able to cobble together this document that will allow me to create a really awesome template for our TV Bible for the Pendragon series that we're working on this summer, but then just also will help me compile a template for any other series that I want to create. And I will be creating more TV series after we do our run through of Pendragon. So I'm using those skills not only to help myself and my writing partner to understand how to create TV series, but I also want to share my insights with you guys at some point. I haven't gotten to the point where I've synthesized all of the knowledge quite yet. That will probably be in about another month and a half. I feel like maybe I can then host a really awesome introductory masterclass, totally free, just sharing the knowledge that I've gained from all of the materials and just things that I've been eating intellectually this summer. But I've really, really been enjoying this process, and I am addicted. So that's basically been like a big part of what I've been doing for the past week, is just doing that analysis, reading, writing, taking notes, creating templates, etc. And I will share with you in the second half of this podcast the actual components, as I have thus far, of a kick-ass, badass TV series. So stay tuned for that. Let's see. So aside from choosing my happiness, self-care, again, you guys know I'm really big on both self-care for artists and money for artists. Self-care has been pretty good. I was sick last week, feeling a lot better this week because I took care of myself, but also still was able to get quite a bit done. So yeah, I'm excited about that, but definitely ready to kick off this week with a bang. I sort of did that today, kind of, but it is a holiday, so I didn't go as hard as I could have today. But did a lot of cooking. Because I'm here, basically like away from my family in New York, there aren't any major barbecues that I was going to or that I was invited to, because my circle is like super duper micro small here. But I did cook my own whiskey black pepper ribs with barbecue sauce, and they are just juicy and glorious and delicious and so good. So yes, was doing my own little celebration over here by myself. Another thing I did do this week that had nothing to do with TV writing was the final wrap-up of the marketing aspects for the 2054 anthology. And I have to say that thus far, my ARC team and my beta reader team are really excited about what they're reading. We've already gotten two really great reviews from my team, and also feedback on the works from my ARC team, and they're steadily rolling in. So it's nice to have those reviews ahead of time. You know, it's not, there's no onslaught. There's not like 100 reviews coming in yet, because not everybody has read it yet. It's only been a week since I sent the book out to people. Actually, it hasn't even been a week. It's been since Thursday that I sent the book out to people. So each week I'll be updating them and reminding them to get their reviews ready for the launch. But that's going really well. People are responding really well to the series. Surprisingly, people are really enjoying the Camille. So And again, I say surprisingly because I have extremely high standards for the kind of work that I would like to put out in the world. And the Camille was coming from a very different pantsing place as opposed to coming from a plotting place. There are a lot of things about the story and the series that I haven't figured out yet. And I actually think I will use my TV series study notes and templates that I'm creating now to further flesh out the Camille in the future. So I know there's a lot more I want to do with that series, but still in its raw form, people are really liking it. So that's great. I'm super excited. And thank you guys. If any of you ARC readers are watching this right now, I just want to thank you for being so amazing and so helpful. And for literally, people are like literally taking notes on the anthology at their jobs with note cards and everything and sending me feedback so that I can go in with my teammates and make the series better. And honestly, like, you can't ask for anything better as an independent author. And even though I'm not as big as, say, you know, Nnedike Okorafor or Octavia Butler or N.K. Jemisin or, Tommy Aladanoya. I think I'm pronouncing her name completely incorrectly. Sorry, boo. But the young, successful Black woman who just released Children of Blood and Bone. I'm not any of those people with the... I don't have the reader base that they do, but the readers that I do have are like incredible, and I'm just so excited. So so that's what's happening with 2054. It will be released Thursday, June 14th, and so you guys will know more about that. We do finally have a pre-order link and a buy link. It's also available not only for pre-order in ebook form, but also in paperback form. And as an FYI, just to remind you guys, our giveaway for the 2054 series is now officially open. And there is a chance to win a set of 15 paperbacks, including a free copy of the 2054 anthology in paperback as well. So if you're interested in getting some really amazing sci-fi, join up with the giveaway, share it virally on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, etc., so that you can increase the number of entries that you have available so that you can increase your chances of winning. So I'll put all that information for you guys down below, and you can just check it out whenever you feel like it. But the marketing for that was also something that I was doing a lot of last week. So let's just get right into it, honestly. That's because my deep focus is still very much on Fleek and just, you know, very laser focused right now. Again, I don't have a wide swath of things that I've been doing, but the few things that I have chosen to do, I have been able to do them and complete them at a higher level of quality. With a much higher level of speed and turnaround, and also with a much deeper level of analysis. And so the marketing was something that I actually was able to finish and get off my plate for this week. But then also the intense development I've been doing of the TV series, TV Bible templates, with some minimal work on the actual Pendragon series itself. But just as an FYI, as I think I told you guys before, my writing partner and collaborator and I basically are trying to simultaneously think about and brainstorm on Pendragon, as well as do our background research on Pendragon. But we're also trying to take this opportunity to learn about basically not only writing badass pilot scripts and series, but just creating them component by component. So it's sort of a dual class for us. We're learning about how to do the thing, which takes time and it takes effort and it takes a lot of lovely reading and writing and watching of TV, which I'm really enjoying. But then we're also doing and engaging in the creation process. And for us, at least for me, the creation process begins with research. And I'm going to also call this mastering the genre. All right. And so we're sort of in the research / mastering the genre phase of Pendragon, trying to figure out what's already out there and what's been done, what's been overdone, what people would roll their eyes at, what kind of perspectives were taken on all these different Arthurian legends, and what it is we can do differently with our series. And to be very honest with you, and I actually told my writing partner this as well, so I don't feel badly about talking about it on the podcast. After realizing how much was out there about Arthurian legends already, and that it was seriously done to death, I lost a lot of interest in pursuing Pendragon further. And I think at this point, I was considering simultaneously working on Pendragon, but also working on another series or a few other series that I have sort of in the ether right now and turning those into TV series. But I ended up deciding to just stick with Pendragon, one, because I do want to continue to practice my deep focus, but also whether or not we end up packaging and pitching Pendragon, it's a good lesson in how to take an entire concept from the idea stage and develop it all the way through to the creation stage, to the TV Bible stage, and to the finished pilot script stage. Because this is essentially like the test dummy of series creation for us. And once we use this course and these templates that we're putting together to create Pendragon, by the time we're done with that process, we would have basically refined and perfected the process, the templates, the filled in the gaps of the, say, different things we might have missed in the past on with regard to creating TV series, etc., etc. So Pendragon is actually a really great test subject in terms of developing our knowledge, but also coming out with a decent to really extremely well put together project in the end. And once Pendragon is finished, pretty much by the end of the summer, I will have the knowledge that I need and the templates and all the things that I need refined and perfected and honed to a T, such that I can just take my other properties on my project slate and then just develop series and TV Bibles around them. So I was considering dropping Pendragon, or at least putting Pendragon to the side and developing something that I'm more excited about, but I think I'm just going to stick with it as a good test subject, crash dummy subject right now. Put my all into it just because it's like my test dummy and I'm like not as amped about Pendragon as I was before doesn't mean that I'm not going to put the effort into it, but put the effort into it, really kick ass with it, have a really great, you know, package for Pendragon by the end of it, take it all the way to pitch level where we're going to meet with producers and pitch it, and just for our own edification and for our portfolio, just have that available and just go through that process. And then when that's over the course of the school year, because I have way fewer classes than before and I'm pretty flexible now with my schedule, I'll be able to then take up another TV project, which will probably honestly be the Ezekiel series, the Time of Beast series, which is a survival horror TV series I'm thinking about creating, and maybe, and or another probably sci-fi cyberpunk series. I'm trying to decide between which one. All of them are really exciting to me. The Camille might even make it onto that. Onto that slate. But as I told you guys before, because I'm doing deep focus, I'll be choosing only one come late August, early September. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's get into the different components and the different stages of putting together an awesome, badass TV series and TV Bible. And let me see, I have how many stages here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 different components / stages to creating a badass TV series. And I'm just going to gloss over them very quickly so that you guys can get an idea as to how I'm putting together this template. And you guys can also get a little teaser and taste of the masterclass I'll be putting together completely free of charge, just to share my knowledge much more in depth with regard to how to put together this TV series. So the first stage and the first part of a TV series and TV Bible for me is the research and mastering the genre stage. Mastering the genre basically means that you need to know every single piece of text and literature out there. And when I say text and literature, I'm drawing directly from Laurie Shear's terminology, because she is the one who wrote the book called The Writer's Advantage, How to Master the Genre That You Want to Write In, or something like that. I forget what it's called exactly. I'll put the title of the book and the link below. It's amazing. I love it. It really elevated my level, my knowledge with regard to how to master a genre. So, for example, we're putting together Pendragon, which is going to be an epic fantasy TV series based on Arthurian legends, right? So in order to really bring something new and fresh to the table and to understand how to put our own twist on Pendragon, we have to do the research. There's just no getting around that. We have to figure out not only what's already been done within Arthurian legends, but what other fantasy shows have been created in the past and have had good runs and why. That includes fantasy shows like Hercules and Xena. Even though they're not Arthurian legends, they're still based on mythology, just like Arthurian legends are. So those need to be investigated. We need to basically look at everything that's come out in film and television around and in the Arthuriana, from the most contemporary adaptations to the most old school adaptations of Arthuriana. We need to look at the most successful fantasy franchises, including Game of Thrones, which, although it's going off in 2019, and that's one of my favorite series of all time, having a fantasy show follow up to Game of Thrones is going to be extremely difficult, because Game of Thrones has raised the bar significantly, right? So doing the research, mastering my knowledge of the genre, and then figuring out from there what twists we can put on things that have already been tried, and what new fresh perspectives we can take is super important. So that's number one, research and mastering the genre. Number two, the second component, the second step, is to develop your concept, hook, and logline. You guys who are in the screenwriting and filmmaking industry probably know what all these things are. I'm not going to go into it because that's masterclass material, but that is the second step in my opinion. The third step, and a lot of this too, just FYI, just to remind you guys, was pulled from all these different texts that I'm reading right now. Another component is to look at the central conflicts of the story. That's a huge part of creating a really great television series. If there's no conflict, if there's no competing interests, if there's no opposition or oppositional forces, then I don't really know what we're writing about, honestly. So that's three. Number four, looking at developing theme and thematic questions. And Will Rabkin really has an amazing, amazing perspective on the thematic question in both the writing the pilot book and the writing the pilot creating the series books that he wrote. And I think that he really has hit the nail on the head with his understanding that without a thematic question, you cannot possibly have a series that people care about. I read through his work and through his perspective on it, and I can't imagine how one can create a series without a thematic question and still have that series be meaningful or groundbreaking. Every single groundbreaking series that has gotten Emmys and Golden Globes and people are binging like crazy have had some really fundamental, amazing, nuanced thematic questions at the heart of it, at the heart of them. Breaking Bad, Mad Men, even Scandal, as melodramatic as it is, and I do love Scandal, has some interesting thematic questions. Game of Thrones has some really incredibly, I mean, it has several thematic questions because it's following different storylines. You know, so for Daenerys Targaryen, she's trying to basically destroy slavery, but she's facing the Abraham Lincoln problem, right? In terms of trying to figure out, in a world without slaves, how do you renegotiate how everyone in that world relates to one another? How do you keep society moving when you've removed the very foundation of a society, which was slavery. And so that was the same kind of question that Abe Lincoln was struggling with when he was president. So that, I mean, that, and that's just for her storyline. You have different storylines in Game of Thrones with different thematic questions, which is why people love it so much and they connect to it. So I won't go too deeply into the thematic question. Again, that's for the 3-hour masterclass that's coming. But that's one part, another part of the TV series creation that is super important. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The concept and narrative questions. That's actually sort of a step-by-step thing that I have to break down for you guys. But basically, asking the narrative questions over the course of the series, the season, and each episode are really important to basically give yourself an endpoint to drive towards. And that's all I'll say on that, but super important. Then you have the characters. And under the characters, like the main characters themselves, you have to develop character conflict, the character's thematic question, and the character arc. And then you have the supporting characters, the supporting character conflict, the supporting character thematic question, and the supporting character arc. So characters in and of themselves, because they hold inside of themselves the thematic questions and the central conflicts, they are super important as a major component, or rather the two major components of your awesome TV series and TV Bible. So the characters and the supporting characters are super integral. And Will Rabkin has, again, such an amazing perspective on how the characters should be structured and put together and developed. Just hands down. I mean, the guy is just a genius, and he's gonna make our TV series and TV Bible just badass. Thank you, Will Rabkin, if you're watching this, because he has some amazing insights that we definitely are integrating into how we're going to create our series. There's also obviously the world and setting, and that can be, you know, sci-fi fantasy world and setting, which include like the actual geography, the political and socioeconomic ethos and the ether, you know, the milieu, language, culture, if there's magic and science systems, hierarchical relationships, etc., etc. And for sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, those tend to be a little bit more involved because you're creating entire separate worlds. For more realistic dramas that take place in the real world, there's world and setting is still important. For The Shield, for example, it was super important to the story that that it took place in the worst parts of Los Angeles, because it's about a team of cops who are trying to beat the crime in the city. And it's, you know, everything about their area and their district is just wholly messed up and horrible and crazy. And so the geography and the world and the setting of that is really important. So that's another component. Another component of a really badass TV series that people don't really consider as thoroughly as they should is include locations and set pieces. So you ask, like, what's the difference between the world and the setting as one thing and the locations and set pieces as another thing? The difference is that the locations and set pieces deal specifically with the practicality of shooting the show. Right. So, for example, in Altered Carbon, there's an entire universe of terraformed planets. It's in a futuristic, cyberpunk, high tech, low life world. But the main locations that we get introduced to over the course of the television series include Takeshi Kovacs' hotel room, the Raven Hotel, specifically the lobby. We only see the room in the lobby. Which is important when you're trying to put together a TV series. People are looking at how many sets do we need to build. For, I would say, a third of the sets, maybe not a third, a fifth of the sets for Altered Carbon dealt specifically in the hotel with two specific spaces. So that was important. The other location slash set piece that was important in Altered Carbon was the police station that was located inside the Catholic Church. right? Not only was it important as a location set piece, but it was also important thematically. So that's another thing that we'll talk about in the masterclass when I've sort of figured out how to synthesize all this stuff, is how every single component of your TV series also needs to play into the theme, including location, including set pieces. And I think that Ultra Carbon did a really great job actually of interweaving the theme with the actual locations and set pieces and the world itself. Another place that we see often in Ultra Carbon is the Bancroft Mansion, which is literally high, like thousands and thousands of feet high above, you know, the lower life grounders. Just so all these things are different locations and set pieces. You have to think about what are the actual sets that our characters or our actors, what are the sets that they will be acting in and sitting in and just dealing with throughout the course of the show. So that's important, identifying locations and set pieces and describing not only what they are and what they look like, but what they signify and why they're important. The next component, other components I'm going to talk about, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven components deal specifically with building the rest of the TV franchise. So the next component includes the type of stories that are told in your television series. For example, Scandal does not deal with poor people. It just doesn't. It deals with high-powered, upper middle class to super rich, super powerful, super elite people. Olivia Pope gets paid millions of dollars to go and fix the problems of senators, of ambassadors, of diplomats, of kings, of queens, of royal families, of the White House, etc. So the kinds of stories told are about the underbelly and the darkness that exists within this upper middle class, high-powered echelon of our society, right? Whereas Jane the Virgin, for example, the type of stories told are very relatable, down-to-earth, girl-next-door stories with a dash of a lot of really beautiful, Latin, Mexicana cultural influence, right? There are stories about motherhood. There are stories about, you know, navigating life and about the unexpected. There are stories about being a woman as opposed to being a mother or being both. And what does that mean? It's much more relatable, much more of the everyday sort. So you have to really figure out what your brand is when you're trying to tell certain kinds of stories and figure out basically like what are those types of stories you're trying to tell in your series. Dialogue style, how do they speak? In Altered Carbon, it's very dark and gritty and basically fuck you and fuck everything pretty much, excuse the French. Whereas in Scandal, the dialogue style is very pithy, it's very melodramatic, it's very emotional, etc. Versus, let's say, Game of Thrones, it's very lofty, very regal, very, very dramatic, not melodramatic, but dramatic, and very tense. There's a sort of high level, a highly refined way of speaking. And the comedy is very high comedy. There's no lowbrow comedy. The comedy in Game of Thrones is for people who can intellectually understand banter and just a way of relating to people that's very sexy. It's like a sexy banter, basically, filled with danger and tension. So dialogue style is really important. We have to decide what the dialogue style of our series is going to be. Interpersonal relations, how do people relate to each other? In Scandal, pretty much no one is really to be trusted. So people, and basically there are always these power plays going on. So the sort of give and take and the stealing and the poaching of power is how people relate to each other in that world. Altered Carbon, people are very isolated and very oppressed. Again, high tech, low life, dealing with the sort of basest instincts of humanity, greed, sex, desire, etc. So people relate to each other in a very mistrusting way, in a very dark way, in a very isolated way, etc. So interpersonal relationships and how they're going to be reflected in your story are also important. Storytelling style. Do you have a voiceover narrator like in Jane the Virgin, or do you have a completely third person omniscient perspective like in Game of Thrones, where they never break the fourth wall? Do they use a lot of flashbacks and flash forwards like in Lost, or do they only use flashbacks when absolutely necessary like in a whole bunch of other series, etc. Narrative pattern. Now, this is another really brilliant perspective that Will Rabkin brings to the table with regard to understanding how to put together not only a series, but specifically an episode in your series. He uses Breaking Bad as an example of how an episode and its plot points tend to shake out. Walter White has to figure out how to grow his empire or get out of a situation. That's step one, right? That's step one in the narrative pattern. Step two, if he's in danger, which he usually is, he has to end up doing something that makes him more evil than he was before. Okay, that's step two. Step three, basically his actions put him in an even tighter situation where he has to become more evil in the next episode in order to surmount the new challenges that come along with the consequences of his actions. At the same time, every time he has to do something more outrageous, more sinister, more evil, he also is simultaneously put in a position where he is going to potentially be exposed by his double life to his family, and just as importantly to his brother-in-law Hank, who is like the lead nose on the methamphetamine drug business right now. And then we start all over again, and pretty much almost every single episode follows that pattern. You know, they have to find a new way to enter a new threshold, or they're in danger, so they have to find a way to get out of that. And Walt ends up having to double down on how deep he is in the game and how evil he has to be, or how vicious he has to be, right? So narrative patterns. I hadn't even noticed that when looking at series and thinking about it, but Breaking Bad actually does this excellently, and I think it's definitely worth a more analytical perspective, just like Will Rabkin is taking. So that's another thing to think about when it comes to your series. Voice and mood. What is the mood of, say, Game of Thrones versus Altered Carbon? Both very dark, but dark in very different ways. You know, Game of Thrones has like a sort of slower, more sinister darkness, where, again, these power plays are coming about, but everybody's very, very quiet about it. A lot of people move in silence in Game of Thrones, and you can't really ever tell what's going to happen. Altered Carbon, on the other hand, the violence and the mistrust and the backstabbing is pretty obvious, and people wear that on their sleeves. People do not try to pretend really that there's something that they're not in Altered Carbon, for the most part, which is ironic me saying that, because everybody's changing bodies like it's changing a shirt. So it's like they are being different people, but they're very open about how much they do not care about the morality or about any sort of morality in this day and age. And so it's much more in your face in terms of like the voice and mood and the darkness. Whereas the darkness of Game of Thrones is, I wouldn't even say understated. It's just more under the surface. It's about not trusting people. It's about everybody pretending that they are these civilized, royal, just people, when in reality, they're very vicious and very tyrannical. And then the final two components, which deal specifically with the episodes themselves or your pilot, if you're just focusing on the pilot, are the pilot story, like what is the actual story from beginning to end of the pilot. And then a concept that I got from Shonda Rhimes' TV writing course, so I'm also taking that too, the plants and the payoffs for each episode, right? Breaking Bad does a really excellent job of this in terms of planting things and being very deliberate about the smaller details that they choose to focus on, and then coming back to the end and showing us how that smaller detail actually played a huge role in the outcome of the episode, right? So for those of you, if you just skip past this part, you know, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, I don't know how you haven't, because it's been over for 5 years now, so I really don't feel too bad for spoiling it. But in the last episode, when we see Lydia, who is just as evil as they come, honestly, she likes to take stevia in her tea. She's very bougie. She likes stevia. She doesn't use sugar. And there's one pack of stevia on the table. And she's also very punctual, very on time. And Walt knows this. He's getting rid of all of his enemies to protect his family. And he's going to turn himself in. And he ends up dying at the end of the episode. But, you know, he plans on, like, not walking away from this. And we hone in on the stevia packet. And then we later find out at the very end of the episode that Walt has gone into the cafe a lot earlier and put the ricin, which is an extremely toxic compound derived from castor beans, into the stevia packet as a way of killing Lydia without doing it bloodily. So at the end, you know, she set up a hit on Walt with the Nazi guys, and she calls one of them. They're already dead. He picks up the phone, and you can see in the background that, like, she's, like, looking all types of messed up and looking terrible, like she has some kind of flu. And Walt says, he tells her straight up, he said, yeah, I slipped the ricin into your stevia, so goodbye. Basically, death was guaranteed. Even the smallest bit of ricin is enough to kill an adult human. He put the entire vial in there. So she's definitely gonna die. And it was way too late by the time she found out to even really get help. So it's those little things that they do pretty much in every single Breaking Bad episode. Like, using those little details, the plant, and then the payoff with us finding out what that little detail was about, or having that detail be the primary twist that make you go, oh snap. Like, that's what makes us go, holy crap, that was brilliant and that was amazing. And so even though I haven't heard about the plant and payoff and all the other things I've been studying, you guys will have been familiar. If you're a writer, if you're an author or screenwriter, you'll be familiar with, you know, phrases like Chekhov's gun, or, you know, the setup and the payoff, etc. I like using plant and payoff because I like alliteration, and I really like the way Shonda Rhimes described it in her process. So those are the 17 components of a really badass TV series and TV Bible. And if this list grows, I will keep you guys posted and updated on it. But I feel so excited and exhilarated and just amped about what I'm learning for this TV writing self-study course that we've put together for ourselves. And I really feel extremely confident that by going through each of these steps and developing each of these components to their fullest, that we are going to have a really amazing TV package. Even if Pendragon is not really something people are interested in, or we're not able to completely revolutionize the way that we tell this story, the point of doing the project is just to have a script done, have a TV Bible done, have a TV series created, have it as a part of our portfolio, and also we would have essentially used that project to master our skills. And so that's really exciting. I will be putting together, once that process is over, a masterclass for you guys that's free to just share my knowledge that I've learned, and also to advertise all the books that I have studied in order to come to this knowledge. And if I'm able to make the template more of my own, because right now it's just a combination of different people's perspectives, if there are things that I can do to make the entire template more of my own, I'll just add it in as like a free download or something. But I want to make sure that I'm not infringing copyright, that I'm not, you know, stealing ideas. You really do have to, as an artist and as somebody who learns from other people, you have to come up with your own perspective on these things. But I suspect that by the end of this process, I will have done that. So stay tuned for that. That's coming not anytime soon, but maybe in a month or two. And I hope that you guys learned a lot about the basic components, at least, to put together a badass TV series. So I am out. I am going to wrap up my day with some writing, because even though I've been spending a lot of time on marketing and TV writing these past 2 weeks, it's really now about time that I get back to working diligently and daily on Hollow Point, as well as Rose and John Doe's. But I'm just going to focus, because I'm doing Deep Focus so well, I'm going to focus primarily on finishing out Hollow Point. It's over 100,000 words. I think it's actually closer to 125,000 words. So I have to really, you know, hone in and just get back into the zone. And have it, if I do that, I do foresee that being able to be out by the end of the summer. So I'm just excited. I feel very on track right now. And even though things can be a little shaky occasionally in life, you know, the heading is strong. And I want you guys to also keep your strong headings no matter what's going on in your lives. Keep studying. Keep, you know, honing your craft. Keep, you know, developing your skills and building your knowledge. Keep taking care of yourselves. Keep writing. Keep creating. Keep being badass as usual. Just keep on keeping on. So that's all I have for you guys today. I'll be back next Monday, God willing, inshallah, with another update as to what's been going on this week. Have a great Memorial Day. Hope you're barbecuing and eating and chilling with your families and having fun. And I will see you guys soon. Bye.